Good morning to you all. Lord's blessings to each one of you. It's good to be together again. Bright, smiling faces. Most of you. Could we kneel together to pray before we start? Oh, Father in heaven, we're kneeling before you. God Almighty, you're in heaven and we're on the earth. And Lord, we desire to learn. We desire to be like you. And we've set this time aside to sit together in heavenly places, listen to the word being preached, to open our hearts to you. And God, I just ask in Jesus' name that you might work here in our midst, continue to work. You've already been doing that. But I ask, Lord, that you might continue to work in our midst. God, I ask that you might work in every heart that's here. Oh, Father, you know that I know it's your desire that every person in this room surrenders their whole life, everything to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I know you're desiring that, and God, I ask that as the word is preached, hour by hour, day after day, that it might come and make our hearts soft and help us, Lord, to purposefully open our hearts. I open my heart to you, Lord, and I welcome you to continue to speak to me. Ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit and your grace to be here. Ask, Lord, that you might take the word and the thoughts and the word as it's shared and make practical application to our lives so that we could see and hear and understand with our hearts, Lord. So, Father, this time we commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. David and Goliath. Very strong. David and Goliath. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'd like to read portion of scripture here before we start. First Samuel chapter 17, and I think we're going to start reading in verse 23. In the context here, the Philistines, Saul and his servants were pitched on the one mountain, and the Philistines were on the other. Saul on the one side and the Philistines on the other. There was a big valley in between. And Goliath, every morning and every evening, would come and he would shout out to the people. And in this context, we'll break in here in verse 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all of the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up." And this is David. "And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine, and taketh away the taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. David was the youngest of eight. And Eliab's, his eldest brother, heard him when he spake to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? He turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. Saul armed David with his armor, and he put his helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and draw nigh to David, that David hasted and ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, drew it out of his sheath thereof, and slew him, cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. We'll stop there. I'd like for us to just consider, I'd like to draw some analogies today from David and Goliath to some of the things that you and I face in life. And specifically, in the areas of temptation, and I know it wasn't long ago, it's a couple years ago, I was a young man. And I remember very well some very strong temptations that came my way. Temptations that I faced that there's times that I failed, and I failed, and I failed, and there's times that I had to come before God and persevere and pray through, and there's some very real things that you all face. I know that. Am I right? It is. And I know that for all of us, these temptations come in many different ways. But these temptations come from time to time. And these temptations at times are very, very strong. We look at them and we fall. Maybe we fail and we come through it and we just can't believe it that we failed again. And we toil on and we ask the question, is there ever a time when I will have victory in this area? Those are questions that I remember asking myself. These temptations sometimes come and they're overpowering. They're so strong that they just intimidate us and they overpower us at times. And if you fail, you sit there, and you lay in your bed at night and you wonder, am I ever going to get victory? And you despise that thing. And you hate it. Sometimes you even make vows and you say, God, I will never ever do that again. Only to find yourself doing it again. Sometimes it feels like it's this big monster. You know, I remember some of those thoughts. I remember some of those thoughts going through my mind. So as we'd like to just go through the life of David here. Or through David and Goliath specifically right now. And just look at what kind of a monster, what kind of a huge man this Goliath was. I wasn't sure how I want to do this. I have a little big man. Not sure how this is going to work here. We'll see if we can string him up. He's a bit of a... Oh, he's turned the wrong way. He's not very nice, but that's not the purpose. I wanted to give you an idea of how big he was. There he is. That's how big Goliath was. And I would imagine the size of David. I expect he wasn't bigger than me. You know, I don't know for sure exactly how big he was, but I'm assuming he probably wasn't much bigger than me. Saul, the Bible says that Saul was head and shoulders above the rest of the men, but doesn't make any implication about that with David. And where are we here? Okay. How shall we do this? This might work. Okay, there he is. There he is. That's Goliath. There he was. You can imagine, day after day, this giant, you know, sometimes today when we see long men, they're gangly and a bit unsure, but it really doesn't seem like Goliath was that way at all. He was a giant, and he was a very mighty man, and he was their champion. And I'm sure that he could handle himself very, very well. And, you know, I'm not just a short man, I'm average size maybe. But look at him. He's a big guy. And you can imagine, he was actually 9 3/4 feet tall. This is about 10 foot here. Yeah, that's the size of that statue there. But here he was. He had a helmet on his head. He had a big coat on, and they say that it was probably 150, 175 pound coat that he had on. He had this big spear, and he called it a weaver's beam. And I don't know how big exactly it was. You know, there's different size weaver's beams, but you know, I'm sure that it was around this size. And just the tip alone weighed 18 and a half pounds. This is a big spear. Obviously, he had a young man up ahead with a shield on. And he was a big man. And every morning and every evening, he would come out over the mountain and, you know, on his side there, and he would holler out, and he would ask for a man to come out and fight him. And he said, you know, if one of you comes out and fights me, and if I beat him, then you all are going to be our servants. And if one of you kills me, we'll be your servants. And can you imagine the intimidation that they faced? And for 40 days, every morning and every evening, he would come out there and he would holler out, and it says that they fled. Every morning, in verse 16 it says, and the Philistine drew near in the morning and in the evening and presented himself 40 days. And he was controlling all the men of Israel. You know, he's a big guy. And he had such an intimidation that the men of Israel, they feared him. They were afraid of him. It says that there was no match. There was no match for him. No one wanted to go out. Saul didn't want to go out. None of the soldiers wanted to go out. They were all scared. They were afraid. Verse 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. I think I would be too. I would tend to be. You know, a guy like this, with his big spear and sword and another man in front of him with a shield, he would cause great fear. But this big Goliath, the fear and the intimidation that he was putting on all of the children of Israel is very similar to some of the things that you and I face, isn't it? We face some of these things and we fail at times and it's like a real giant. We see no way to overcome it. And these things are very real and very big. And how are we going to overcome? And how are we going to get through the thing? And it's just like this giant. And you and I face giants today. And just like the children of Israel, we're no match. We're just no match. I'm no match. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. I don't see how I can overcome. And there's a lot of truth to that in our own man. You know, in verse 24 it says that they were all sore afraid and they ran. And they fled and there was a pressure, there was an oppression. Everyone. At night, I'm sure these men would sit in their tents in fear. And they knew the next morning he was going to come out again. And they'd talk among themselves. Is there a man? Is there a man that is willing to go out there and fight him? I'm sure they talked about that. And every morning and every evening, there he'd come again. And this fear, this dread, this overcoming power, this overpowering fear, just settled down on them. But I like to just tell you something here, that there was a man, when David came on, there was one man that had a totally different view than all of the rest of the armies. He had a totally different view. Let's look at what it says here in verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's a sinner. He's an ungodly man. He's a heathen. And if he's defying the armies of the living God, why shouldn't God be for us? Why can't we come and fight him and God will help us? He had a totally different view. All the other men looked at his stature and they said, oh, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way that we can fight this man and win. There's no way. But David had a different view. David looked at it from God's perspective and he said, oh, this man, he's a heathen. He's an ungodly man. And if God wants us to fight and win, he'll be with us. He'll give us the power. There's no question. We can win. Well, that's a bit different, isn't it? It says, this is what David said in verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Wow. I like that. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Don't be afraid of him. Let no man's heart fail before him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Why should we be afraid? I'd like for us to just consider. There's temptations and there's things that come to you from time to time. And maybe there's habits that you have and they look like giants that you can't overcome. Don't be afraid. Let no man be afraid. If God be for us, who can be against us? Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. In verse 33 it says, and Saul said to David, thou art not able. He even got opposition and said, you're not able to do that. Thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war. So he faced opposition. He said, oh, you can't beat. Now, let's look at what David's response was. He said, I went out after him. And he was, and he's talking, actually, let's just turn to verse 34 here. In verse 34, it says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. So David is saying that, you know, I couldn't just sit there and do nothing. He said, when I was back taking care of my father's sheep, there's a lion and a bear that came. And he said, when they came, he said, I went out after them. See, it takes a bit of courage, doesn't it? You know, you can't just, you know, lay in your bed or sit on the couch and hope this big old giant goes away. David said, when the bear and the lion came, he said, I went out after them. And he said, I slew him. And he said, I got a hold of the lion's beard. Imagine that. That takes some courage. He said, I got a hold of the lion's beard and I smote him. And he said, when the bear came, I slew him. Wow. It takes a bunch of courage, my brothers and sisters. But we will prevail with the help of God. There's a totally different thinking behind all this. If God is for it, who can be against us? If you and I face giants, why do we wilt and say, oh, I can't make it. This thing is going to get me again. Oh, we need to be like David who said, oh, that lion and the bear, they came and I'm rising up and I'm going after it. I'm going after him. Wow. He didn't let him control him. And he went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. You know those temptations and those troubles and things that you and I face is exactly the same as that uncircumcised Philistine. It is sin. It's ungodliness. And God wants us to walk in victory and power and strength and be moving forward just like what Brother Leonard was sharing this morning. God wants us to be walking in those beautiful truth of God's word. It's not necessary to be wallowing in sin all the time. It is true, we fail at times. But oh, brothers and sisters, we can't live in it. We can't live in it. It's just like the children of Israel. They were all out on the mountain there with Saul for 40 days. Day, morning, and evening, the Philistine came. Goliath came, and there he was, and he was defying, and everyone sat back and was afraid and they ran away. God forbid. God forbid. Now let's look at what David did in verse 48 when the Philistine came. In verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistine. Wow. He didn't stand there, you know, trying to hold his ground.
he got up and he ran toward him. He didn't just sit back nonchalantly and let the thing come and overpower him. He got up and he ran to meet him. And there's two things that David had strong confidence in. There's two things that made David totally different. It says here in verse 36, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God." That's the one thing. This Goliath, that sin, that temptation, he is defying God. And he's defying what God wants me to do. And for that reason, God is going to help me. God's power is there. And the next verse, in verse 37, it says, "David said, moreover, that the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." He defied God. He defied God's people. Then he says, the same God that has helped me in the past, the same God that has helped me to become born again by the Spirit of the living God and changed me in the past, that same God is now able to deliver me out of his hand and out of the hand of the enemy or that temptation that you are facing and will face. I'd like to just simply encourage you, if you're facing things that seem to overpower you, discouragements, sin, whatever it may be, I would like to encourage you that there is no sin, no temptation that God is not able to deliver you from. This man of sin, this heathen, this ungodly man that comes against us and intimidates us, and we feel like trash, we feel like we're not able to do it, God's going to help us, without a question. But there's two solid facts that he had confidence in. One is, he had defied the armies of the living God. The other one was, the same God that had already helped him before and had delivered him out of the hands of his prior enemies, the bear and the lion, he would also deliver him out of his hand. I'd like to just consider some of the temptations that you and I face in a very real way. You know, young men and young women, there's temptations that you face. There's things that you know in your heart are not right, but you have created some habits and you find yourself doing it over and over and over again. And maybe they're not huge sins. Maybe they're smaller sins. And you'd like to free yourself from these things. And yet you find yourself struggling in them. I don't know what they are. I'm just going to name a couple this morning and go down through this list. I'm just going to name some, because I know that this is just a short list, and your list goes way beyond what I have. Okay, so you fill in the blanks of what you face. You know, maybe you're driving down the road, young men or young women, and you have this habit of just turning that radio on and listening to some of the stations that you know you shouldn't. In fact, I'd encourage you to just turn it off. Keep it off. There's not much good on there. But you know how it is. You find yourself to where you just, if you're by yourself, you just turn that thing on and you fill your mind with rubbish. Maybe it's some talk shows.
Yeah, maybe it's music that isn't good. Maybe you're listening to music. Maybe you've got some of this music that you know is wrong. Contemporary Christian music. And some of that music that you know in the back of your mind, you know it's not good, and yet you're listening to some of those things. And you desire to be free from it, and yet, day by day, you stick that CD in that player, and you listen to it. And you know you shouldn't, and yet it's this giant. And you have a hard time just saying no. But it's robbing you in your walk with the Lord. It's taking away. Maybe there's movies. Maybe there's movies that you've gotten a hold of. And in the privacy, maybe with some friends or all by yourself, you're watching some of these movies. And it's draining that spiritual life right out of you. God forbid. God forbid. Young men, maybe it's lustful thoughts. Or maybe it's some lustful things that you're doing in the privacy of your bedroom. Young women, young men. You know those lusts that rise up, those passions that rise up in our bodies at times. Maybe you're struggling with some of those. I'd like to just tell you that that's a giant that he can be killed, he can come down to the ground. That head can be cut off. You know what's gone on in your own heart. You know the struggles that you're facing. Maybe you go to the bookstore, or maybe you go to the library, and you browse those shelves and you open books, and you're feeding that lust in your heart. Maybe you go on the internet and you spend hours surfing, and you know that it's not good for you, and yet there it is. And you try to stop, and you might stop for a week, and then a week later you're back in it again. You know what I'm talking about? Those are very real issues. Very real issues. Young ladies, you know there's these temptations, these vanities that come on for young ladies where you desire to adorn yourself. And when you go to the store to buy clothes, and to buy, you know, whatever it might be, you know that you're buying things that are outward adornment. And it just feeds your pride. And young men, you know how it is. You know, you like to wear clothes that make you look tough. And, you know, some of these things you know aren't the best, and yet you're giving yourself in some of these areas. You know, young women and also young men, you know, just fashionable clothes, whether it's fixing your hair, you know, whatever it might be, you're adorning yourself. Dressing in ways, women, to attract men, tight and immodest clothes. And you know, when you stand there, you know that you're making yourself nice because there's a boy that's in the back of your mind and you want to look pretty for him. You know, those are some of the giants we face. Fantasy books. Young men, anger rising up within us. Our dad tells us to do something. Or our sibling does something and it irritates us, and there's anger, passion that rises in your heart. That's another giant. You know, there's peer pressure. There's things that go on among the youth and your friends, and your friend does something and you want to be like her, or you want to be accepted by her, or you want to be accepted by your peer, young man. And so you do things purposefully, things that you know are not good. You do them
So you're accepted by your friend. Those are giants. And maybe we haven't been looking at all those things as giants. But I'd like to tell you, they are giants. And they will come, and they will take away the spiritual life within us if we don't deal with them. And they will, if we don't recognize them as sin, as wrong, they will take us away. It's like what Brother Leonard was sharing this morning, those young men that hardened their hearts and said, well, do I have to go that far? If our heart is here and it's you know, well, I'm not that bad. And yet we're holding, you know, there's some of these things we don't want to totally give up. You know, we're hanging on to them. Those are the things that giant will end up taking us on this downhill trend. These are the things that really do defy God. They do defy God. They defy God, and we fall prey to them, and we fall into those traps, and we'll be going on down the road. Well, let me just give you a word of encouragement here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 13, it says this way, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Young men and young women, Scripture says that God will not suffer us to be tempted above what you and I are able to bear. And so if you're facing some of these things and you feel like you're just a defeat, you just can't make it, God said, there's no temptation that's going to come our way. But with it, he's going to give the ability and the power and the strength to overcome. Praise the Lord. He said, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know what? You know what David did after he slew the Philistine? He ran, and he was running. He got this stone and put it in his sling and threw it. And it hit him in the forehead, and he fell to the ground, and he stood on him, and he pulled out his sword, and he chopped his head off, grabbed a hold of his head. And when he reported back to Saul, guess what he had in his hand? He had his head in his hand. He's toting around his head, you know. I won the victory. I got him. Brothers and sisters, there's times if you need help and you're not gaining victory, it's time to open up your heart to other brothers and share with them. And if you gain some victories, you can take that head and you can get up in church and share what God has done for you. Open your mouth. Tote that head around some. It'll bring more accountability to you. Now with it, you might have some more temptations. It's not the end of the battle. But do it. The overcoming power of Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to just consider some of the things that David was doing before he did this. Consider David out taking care of the sheep. As a young man, and like I said yesterday, he was probably 20 years old, around that age. He was out there with the sheep, taking care of the sheep. And it says that out there is where he met the lion and the bear. And the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And if he's a man after God's own heart, I'm going to say that out there with the sheep, David was out there day after day thinking about God. And as he was thinking about God, he had this sling in his hand, and he would throw these stones. Hour by hour, he would throw these stones. And he'd throw them. And he'd throw them again. And he'd throw them again. I know how it is. I've got some young men at my house, and they like to do a little bit of bow hunting, okay? And I know there can be some extremes with that too, but they like to do a little bit of bow hunting. You know what they do? They stand there, and they have their bow, and they shoot, and they shoot, and then they go pull out those arrows, and they come back, and they shoot again, and they shoot again, and they shoot again. And if they're not hitting, they keep on shooting, and they keep on shooting, and they keep on shooting, and they keep on shooting, until they are hitting that mark. Because they know that when that deer comes through there, and they're ready to shoot, that if they don't hit the right place, they won't get him. So there they are, hour after hour, shooting, shooting. And you know how it is? David, I'm sure, stood there, and he'd pick up these stones and throw them. Then he'd go over and pick them up and come back, and then he'd throw them again, and throw them. And he'd sit there and he'd talk with God. He'd talk with God. He'd commune with God. See, isn't this the basis of it all? Right? Isn't this the basis of it all? And he'd talk with God. And he'd commune with God, and he'd sing, and he'd play his harp. It says he was a cunning player. And he'd sit there and he'd sing. He'd sing to God all by himself and out there with the sheep, and he'd play and he'd sing. Sing, and he'd worship God, and he'd lift his heart, and he just, as he communed with God, his heart just rose up to God, and he longed after God, and he was perfect in his heart. There he was. He'd throw stones and throw stones and throw stones and throw stones, talk with God, and play his harp. Keep talking to God. Aren't these the foundational things that David was doing that made him who he was? Look at all the other all the other Israelites, Saul, and even David's brothers. You know, they were mighty men of valor. But there's not one of them, when it came to the day of battle when Goliath was there, there's not one of them that had a right view. Not one of them had a right view. And yet here's David, and he said, oh, he's defying the armies of the living God. If he's defying the armies of the living God, then surely God will help me, and we can kill him. And you know, as you day by day, you have your fellowship with God. You commune with God, whether you're driving down the road, or whether you're sitting in your own room and reading the Bible and talking to God. As you have that communion, God comes and he speaks to you. And God makes himself known to you. And these, as you open your heart, these issues, these temptations, these struggles, you're talking to him about those things. And when the giant comes, you're in tune. He's gone. But you know, we expect that we can win this giant and not fellowship with God. We tend to expect that when this giant comes, I can win him, even if we're intimidated by him, somehow we can win. And yet we don't fellowship with God, and we don't have God's word in our hearts. And it's because of those reasons that we're not fellowshipping with God, and we're not giving ourselves to applying ourselves to the Word, to fellowship with God. It's because of those reasons we have a wrong view. And if we have a wrong view, we won't win. You show me a man that has given himself, like David has, who will sit there and hour after hour throw those stones, and hour after hour fellowship with God and play and have this fellowship. God talks to him, and I will show you a man who will have victory over Goliath. And I know that we can elevate this thing of spending time with God to where it's not practical. And you can spend 2 hours with God one day and then nothing the next day. But I would like to encourage you, young people, you need to spend time with God and lots of it. Okay? And not only when you have quiet time with God. This is a walk all day long. All day long, when you face something, you're communicating to God. And these giants will become bread for you. All day long, when you face a hardship, you pray to God. And you're communicating, whatever you're doing, you know, things come up and you talk to God. It's a walk. It's a life. And yes, you need to spend time with God. Have your personal quiet time. And I'd like to also say, you know, there's some of these things like Bible memory and some of those things. I'd encourage you to give yourself to some of those things. Those are things that instill the Word of God in your heart. And as you, those are disciplines that as you give yourself to those things, your heart will continue to open more and more to God, and His truth will become established inside of you. Guess what David would do if he would miss that lion and bear? You know, he went after him. Guess what he would do next time if he misses? Would he just nonchalantly, I missed. Next time the bear, it would come out, he just sort of, let him do his thing, take the sheep and leave. Is that what he would do? If he missed one, I'm confident that he would go back to the drawing board. He would throw that stone and throw that stone and throw that stone. And that's the same thing that you and I need to do. Brothers and sisters, if you fail, you sin, do something about it. Amen. Don't just sit there and let it happen again. Rise up. Rise up with the power of God and purpose in your heart that you will do something about it. And whatever you need to do, if you need to establish accountability and open your heart to brothers, open your heart to mom and dad, or, you know, do something about it. Don't live in that thing. Rise up. Take courage. You know, get a hold of that lion's beard. Get him. Don't let him get you. Take some courage. And in the middle of all that, can you imagine what was going on in heaven that day when David went out to fight Goliath? Can you just imagine what was happening in heaven? God was in heaven and he was looking down and he saw one young man whose heart was purposed and set and fixed, and he knew the enemy and he knew God would help him, and he was just happy to help him. But the rest of the armies, there they stood, defeated. Oh, he's too big for me. I can't overcome. No way. Can't make it. But there's one young man, and God looked down, and God was pleased. Hallelujah. God was pleased that day. Well, David showed himself to be a very faithful man. But what about us? Can I encourage us that It's very possible. It's very possible. We face giants, and I just mentioned just a handful here, but you know the giant that is in your life, discouragement, whatever it might be, sins, whatever it might be, those things can be overcome by the power of God. And they're just like this uncircumcised Philistine, this heathen man. If God is for us, who can be against us?